stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode 94, and it's February the 21st, 2023. And our guest today is a business owner and a coach, Adam Bells. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me to come on here.
Listen, I can remember when you were in junior high, and you were kind of tech savvy at that time. You were in a tech fair and did the little cars and all that. And when did you first get started working on small engines?
I guess probably somewhere in that junior high phase. I'm going to say between 14 and 15 years old.
Really?
Yep. And I kind of fell in love with it, enjoyed it, and kind of learned some of it from my grandfathers. And man, it's actually done well for me. I'm not going to complain.
Now, when you got into high school, we won't talk about sports yet, but let's talk about work experience. Were you working on small engines at that time? Or
I was. I actually started at Beckley Feed and Hardware when I was 15 years old. I started working there. Basically, I was in 10th grade. I rode my bicycle to work. So it was a very enjoyable time. But I started there, and guy owned that was named Sid Larrick. He hired me on, and he said, hey, I'm going to have you to load and unload stuff, and then the guy downstairs is going to train you to work on small engines. And he did. His name was a fellow that worked there at the time, was Ben Porterfield. And super nice guy, and man, he trained me and done a lot of good things for me, and kind of sent me on my way for the rest of, now 25 years worth of it. So it's been awesome. So
I was going to ask you about Ben, because he grew up in my neighborhood, and him and his son, Mark, they both worked on lawnmowers and stuff forever. And then Benny worked for the city some, I think. And he's passed away now. He's not with us anymore.
Right.
But
right.
I can remember when he was 12 years old, you know, working on a lot of people's lawnmowers out of his basement. And
right.
There was a guy, too, that came from Beckley Mower that – so he had a business and he sold it and came over there. Were you still there then?
I was. Actually, that was Bill Smith.
Okay.
And he sold out, of course, to Austin there at Beckley Feed. And he, you know, Bill was, I'm going to say he was almost like a father figure, to me on this. I mean, he really, what we're being left off, he picked up. And he just, you know, he was just a great guy to be around. You know, the big story was that, you know, people would go to Beckley Mower and they'd say, man, that guy was kind of grouchy sometimes, but he was just really good and really caring to people. But he got aggravated quickly with people. So, but he was really good to me, and he actually worked for me here for a little while when I first opened. He sure did, You know, he kind of retired, but then he'd come in and work 3-4 hours a day. And man, I enjoyed him being here because he was just good to have around.
Then so. You had Mike Marion worked here for a while.
He actually worked here before we bought it.
Oh, okay.
He sure did. He worked for Jeff here before we bought it. And, you know, Mike, of course, I talked to Mike. Mike comes in and out quite a bit. And Mike was, I'd love to have Mike work for me. I mean, because he's an abundance of knowledge and just a great guy as well. So
he had his own business. And he grew up in my neighborhood, too, just down the street.
Okay.
And,
okay.
His dad was a fireman, and Mike, then they went into the business for a while, and but I hadn't seen Mike in several years. But he was another guy that, as a kid, was taking lawnmowers apart.
Yes, he was. I was going to say there was a few of us, and that's what I said. I said I was kind of the young guy around for, you know, of course I'm getting a little older now, but those guys they treated me well and taught me everything that they possibly could, and I'm appreciative of it because it's really worked out for my little shop here. It's really kind of helped me along.
Now, there was a guy that worked down there. I don't think he worked on lawnmowers or anything, but a guy worked at Beckley Feed for a long time. He had kind of long hair and glasses.
John Bartlett.
Okay.
Yep, and he was the plumbing hardware Superman is what I'm going to call him, because if you had a question of something like that, man, he could, you know, point you in the right direction. And I haven't talked to John in a while, but as far as I know, he's still around and still doing okay.
So now you became the store manager for Caperton at Beckley Feed and Hardware.
That's kind of fell in my memory there, but I think it was probably somewhere in the, I don't know, I was probably in my mid-20s or something like that. And he took me under his wing and kind of tried to teach me a few things about management. He was a good guy to teach me some things as well. He's put a lot of time and effort into me. Let's put it that way. And we had a good successful business there for several years.
Yeah.
So
I hate to see that place close down, but I can understand, you know, what the economy is now. They got a McDonald's sitting there.
Exactly right. Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of a, when you go down there and you kind of look at that McDonald's, they've got that mural on the wall there of Beckley Feed, and I walked in and went in. I was like, man, I worked there for a long time.
That's right. Well, the Larricks were a great family. I worked for his brother at Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And he was a tremendous guy to work for, been there for years. But my uncle built the, when they put in the garden center there in the back, the beams.
Okay,
the,
yep.
Rick Bennett.
I remember those guys.
He's the one that built that. And it was a pretty big task.
It was. That was a monstrous, you know, task for him. And man, they did a great job. I mean, it looked amazing when they got done, you know. And those guys was nice guys. He still comes in. So they come in, I remember those guys because I was working there at the time when they were building that. And, you know, of course, we got to know them guys pretty good because they spent quite a bit of time there building that, you know, monstrosity thing. So it was really cool, though. It was to watch them work and to do the things. They spent a lot of time and effort on that.
When did they close down and did you open this place up?
They actually closed down in 2013, and that's when we opened. So they kind of fell through that summer. We opened in April, and I think he closed up in that fall of 13, somewhere between November and December, and kind of auctioned things off. And I think that's when the sale went along and McDonald's come in and started their tasks there.
Now, did you taught small engine repair, didn't you?
I did. Actually taught it over as evening classes over at Votech for several years. Uh-huh. Sure did. They had the adult education classes, and I actually picked up, I've still got a guy working for me today of the first class that I done. And I think that was back in, don't hold me to this, but I think it was 2004 or 2005. And he still works for me now.
Wow.
he was a young kid at that point, and he was fresh out of school actually still in school. He came to work for me and he's done a pretty good job for me.
Now, didn't you work in the mines, around the mines too?
I did. And I quit down at Beckley Feed, I think it was 2009. And I went down and got a job at for Pocahontas Coal down at the East Gulf Prep Plant. And I enjoyed that. I learned a lot. It was, you know, because basically that's all I've done my entire life was small engine. I'd worked down there for, you know, 15 years or better and kind of enjoyed it. And I said, man, I'm going to do something different. So I went down and I got into the prep plant, and they taught me how to run the plant and load trains and so on and so forth. And I really enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoy what I do now. So Jeff Cox.
But you were doing a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah, doing a little bit of everything.
When did you sleep?
Well, I tell you, it was crazy. So we opened up here in 2013. So I think it was in the fall of 2012, Jeff had shut this place down. And Cox, and he had shut down Mountaineer Mower. And he called me and he said, hey, man, he said, there's an opportunity here for you if you're interested. He said, I'll lease you my building for a little while, and you try it out and see what you think. So in in April 2013, I said, hey, we're going to pull the trigger. We're going to try it. And he said, okay. So he released us the building for a few months. And that was probably the worst few months of my life. I worked here all day, and I'd go work there all night. And I'd get me about 3 hours of sleep a day, and I felt like I was going to fall over. But it really paid off, you know. I ended up quitting the mines, or, you know, giving my notice there in November. And then it just took off from there. And then, you know, eventually we purchased the building from Jeff and so on and so forth. So it's really been a, you know, it just kind of ballooned on us. And we, you know, I've really enjoyed being in business here so far.
When you're going into business and you got to get in with the franchises some way to have some type of equipment you're going to sell. And how hard is it to get in with some of these franchises?
You know, when we first started, it was, I'm going to say my mom and Grant helped us out quite a bit, which, you know, he's my stepdad. And of course, my brother, Nick, he's helped us a lot as well. But, you know, when we first started, it was a really scary situation because, of course, none of us had a lot of money. You know what I mean? So starting a business, that's kind of a big thing, is to have a little bit of funding. But we was able to get in, and, well, there's luckily there was not very many small engine shops around. So there was a bunch of franchises open, and we got a hold of Husqvarna, and they basically said, hey, look, we're going to give you guys a shot, and we're going to give you a credit line. I think it was like $25,000. And they said, and I said, well, that's great. So we started out with that and a few little parts, suppliers that we could find that would kind of deal with us. And most of them, believe it or not, started out as a credit card purchase. So, you know, you had to give them your credit card and they sent you some parts, and you pay that off and you get some more, you know. So really it started out really scary, and then, but it ballooned within a few months. We started picking up different suppliers and things like that, and it really kind of ballooned on us. And then that's when the scary part started, is you think, how in the world am I going to pay for all this? Yeah. That's right. But it really worked out, I guess, in our favor that that these guys worked with us really well, Toro and Husqvarna. Those were my first two. And, man, they worked with us in such a way that allowed us to become what we are today. And, you know, today we carry about six lines, and those guys, they still work with me really well to make sure we got equipment and make sure we're servicing the area the way we should and so on and so forth. So, but it, you know, to get into those franchises was really tough at the beginning. It was, yeah.
Well, back in the old days, I can remember companies like John Deere. If somebody had the franchise, that they wouldn't even let anybody sell John Deere within like a 50-mile or 100-mile radius.
Exactly.
You know? Of course, I think now they've lifted some of that.
Yeah, stuff. I was going to say it's a little closer now, you know, a little more populated areas. You know, it's down to about 40 or 50-mile radius, you know. And, you know, we're very lucky in where we're at. I mean, of course, you know, there's several people that sell Husqvarna, you know, your Royal Kings and your Lowe's and stuff like that, but they don't sell, most of the time, not the same equipment we sell. But now, like Toro, we got a guy in Bluefield, and then there's a guy up in Charleston. So that's kind of the closest. So we've got a pretty good area here with those guys, and as well as Skag and Bad Boy as well. So I feel pretty good about where we're at on most of that product. But like you said, now, like, you know, some of these bigger guys, like, I was never able to pick up the steel franchises or the John Deere franchise. I'm just not quite big enough for that product yet. You know what I mean? But it, you know, those are great products as well. And but I feel really good about where we're at. You know, we've got some really nice product, and I guess the big thing is I like those Husqvarna, Toro, Bad Boy, those, and Skag as well. They've been really helpful for us, you know. And so, you know, if Mr. Bennett comes in with a problem and I call him, I say, hey, man, this is what we got. They're really apt to fix me, fix you. Let's put it that way. So it's been a really good
situation. You're getting ready to start the busiest season. I guess your busy season from April to November.
Pretty much, yes.
And how many people do you normally have employed during that?
We normally do 8 to 9 employees. So, which still shorthands us a little bit, but it, you know, it allows us to keep the majority of those employees for year round. So we'll normally keep around 7 year round, and then we add a couple in the summer. Trying to keep some young boys in here in the summertime, trying to draw me some new ones in. But, you know, a lot of times I'll get them for the summer and then they move on to something else. But I've had some really, really good employees over the years, some really good young kids that's worked for us. And
now I noticed you've got into the salt business and mulch business.
We have. So
how's that working out?
It's actually been really good. We've, of course, we've got the landscaping division as well that we run, the New Horizons side of this business. And
is that your?
That's our, you know, that's my mom and Grant. They really take care of that side more than I do. But But now I get to take care of the snowplow side of it. So we get we take care of lots, you know, snowplow lots for restaurants and businesses and so on and so forth. And of course we sell bulk salt and sell mulch and sell palleted salt and just something, you know, it's kind of one of those things that not many people's thinking about grass mowing in the wintertime. So we picked up a few little things to carry us through. And it really does a pretty good job, you know, the salt. And of course, the mulch goes right along with the landscapers that come in to buy mowers. They say, hey, man, give me a couple scoops of that while I'm here. I can go over here and finish my job or whatever it may be. So it's kind of worked out really good for us.
I noticed, I wouldn't call it a trend yet, but I mean, there's a development of more electric motors and vehicles. And do you see that being a major problem or a gas? Are you going to learn how to work?
Well, I was going to say, it's going to be, they are pushing for us to really learn to sell that product. There's a lot of that product out there already, but it's so nominally expensive right now that people are kind of drove away from it. I think that within a few, maybe 4 to 5 years, you're going to see a lot more electric powered riding lawnmowers and things of that nature. Now, I tell you where it's really took off for us at this point is handheld. You know, your blowers, your weed eaters, and your chainsaws. I have sold a ton of that stuff in battery and very easy to work on. Parts are readily available. It's pretty easy to, you know, to maintain. But what really helps is, you know, a lot of people don't use a chainsaw, but maybe 2 times a year. Well, your gas-powered chainsaw, your gas is bad, and then you got to come up and see me, and you're mad at me because it won't run, and you know what I mean? So, but with the electric one, you know, you charge your battery up, and you go out, and you saw down your limb that fell down, and you go put it back on charge for next time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about starting it and so on and so forth. So I've got some people that, you know, and I'm not putting anybody down or anything, but as we get older, we get shoulder problems, and we get, you know, back problems, and we can't pull start this stuff. So that's where the battery stuff's really come in handy. You know, you grab it, you use it, it's lighter weight. And of course, you know, the big thing is, I guess it doesn't emit any emissions and so on and so forth. And so it's been really, that part of the business has been really good. So
you mentioned some of your family members. How many family members you got working in your business?
So right now I have my wife. She works with me daily, which is enjoyable some days. And then I have my oldest son works for me. He's a big part of the business at this point. And my brother works here as well as my mother. Uh-huh. So out of those employees that I was mentioning, a bunch of us are strictly family. And believe it or not, we actually get along 90% of the time. It's really good. So and
it's better than most.
That's exactly right. It's so, you know, and I really have to give it up to my son Caleb. He's 23 years old now, and he has really put forth a lot of effort into our business. And you know, I'm gonna say he's here before I am in the morning, and he normally is leaving with me in the evening or slightly after. So he has put in a lot of work for me, and you know, to help our business. And of course, he's helping his family too. You know, he's got a couple young kids now, so I'm a grandpappy now, so that's kind of cool. That's right. So, but he's done a really good job for us. I have to really put my hat down to him because he's done a really nice job for me.
Where do you see yourself business wise 10 years from now?
You know, I'd hope for I'd hope to grow a little more. You know, probably not pick up very many more lines, but I would like to grow a little more into the lines that we're in, maybe into some tractor sales and things of that nature, because a lot of our, you know, our already existing lines offer things that we don't sell. So I'd like to get into some things of that nature, and you know, I'd like to keep my family on board, and maybe even, you know, heck, I've got some kids that are falling, you know, they're in high school or graduating high school, and I'd like to see them kind of fall into the business as well. So we'll see how that works out in the future. But that's kind of what I'm hoping for anyway. So,
Now let's go back, talk about sports a little bit. How old were you when you first got into the first organized sport?
I think I was 10, and I'd started in into midget league football.
Your dad was a coach.
Dad was a coach. Yep. Now we played for Southwest, uh-huh. And I'm not going to say that, you know, and I was going to say Dad and Greg Shoemate, and I don't know if you remember him or not, but they were the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they were coaches. And I'm not going to say that we were ever super good, but we had a great time. And, of course, it, you know, they taught us a lot of things about sports and, you know, and also kind of being a good human as well, I guess, you know, as we go along. But that's where we started, and I think we played there for, I think it was like we started out in B team, played a few years, and then A team, and then I came up and started playing for you. And I think, you know, we ended up playing a couple, well, all 3 years there of junior high at that time. And then I think I played football the first, my seventh grade year, and then my eighth and ninth grade year to play football, and then we wrestled. And you, of course, you got to coach me on all that. So I was, I kind of enjoyed that.
You're not ruined, are you?
No, I'm not ruined. That's exactly right. It was an enjoyable time. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. That's what everybody asked me. They said, hey, man, how much did you wrestle and play sports in high school? And I said, you know, I really, once we got out of middle school or junior high at that time, I didn't play sports at all. We had some, you know, not really family issues, but my brother got a little bit ill there and had some issues and kind of didn't work out for the family for me to play sports at that time. So I decided I wanted to drive a car to school and so I went and got a job. And that's where I started my career down at the feed store. But, you know, I kind of felt, you know, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot in those few years that we did, you know, I did play. And
well, there was some good kids around. I mean, I know Adam Wilson, I think you wrestled with him some. And Adam's selling real estate, I think, down in Tennessee.
He is. Yeah. He is. Looks like he's doing extremely well with his real estate business down
there.
He
was a great guy. And then there were some guys that, on some of the other teams, I think that's when Matt Callahan came along. And
It was.
Pretty good bunch of guys. Yeah. You mentioned Greg Shoemate. Was your dad the head coach then?
Actually, Greg, I think, was the head coach at that point.
Okay.
And
Rick Phoebus came along and helped later.
There was him, and, you know, I'm going to say I can't remember some of their names. I was going to say there's probably four or five guys there that really helped along with the coaching. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I remember of course, you think back and you're like, wow, I played football with Tamar Slay was actually on the football team with us there. And, you know, you go back and you look like, wow, he went on to do some really good things and still doing great things. And I think there was some other guys there that moved on or played football for Pittsburgh there for football. Proportional.
Oh, you're talking about Ligursky.
Ligursky, yeah. He played there. He actually was a little bit behind me, played with my brother there, Nick, and
see,
you know,
I didn't coach Ligursky.
Right, right.
I was out when he came along. But Sean Surratt, I did coach him, and he actually ended up coaching at Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, exactly. Oh, I was going to say. So, you know, those guys, you kind of look around, and they were all right there around me, and those guys went on to do some nice things with sports. And of course, they've came back here and done some awesome things with you know, the weight room over at Woodrow and so on and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of nice things that they had done in the,
well,
you know,
now,
for the area.
The guys you coach with at Woodrow, you wrestled with Matt Austin.
I did. Yep. We actually wrestled together. That's what we kind of kicked back on that every now and then and said, man, we can't believe we've got such a great team over there right now because me and him, neither one was really good at wrestling. So, you know, I'm going to say some people are good wrestlers and some people are better coaches, I guess, but you know, they,
well, you know, that's a good point. I've had over the years, I've had some clinics and camps and I've brought in some guys, I won't mention their names, but some of them, I mean, world-class wrestlers and couldn't teach a lick.
Right.
But they was great wrestlers.
That's exactly
right. And
then
I've had other guys who may not have been as good a wrestler, but they were great teachers.
Exactly.
And great coaches. And it's kind of funny how, and then every once in a while, you'll get a guy like Cal Sanderson of Penn State who did both.
You know? Yeah, I was going to say, he was a great at both ends of it. That's exactly right. So, and still is. So, you know, it's kind of funny that, like, say, I mean, you know, he's put in, you know, I have to give it up to Matt because he's doing the thing that like I was mentioning when we started this business. He, you know, works night shift and he comes over and he, you know, coaches those boys in the evening and, you know, gets very little sleep and just is the most energetic feller that you could want.
When did you guys started out in the Beckley Junior Eagles? I mean,
they did.
Not
all of them, but, you know, a big portion of that, what I'm going to say the sophomore class now started out in the Beckley Junior Eagles. And you know what? Most of them started out when they were 4 and 5 and 6 years old. And they have just, you know, they've hung around there and they've built, you know, they've built quite a team. And I say they have built quite a team because they have stuck around with it. And, you know, as a coach, that's one thing you can't make a kid do is hang around with something. So they really like it and they really love the sport. And I'll be honest, at this point, they probably teach us more than we teach them, because they just went that far. You know, they get on YouTube and watch for moves, and they do this, and they watch other kids, and they come back into that room and they're like, hey, check this out. And of course, you know, they we figure out how to teach it, but they have really, that's a really good group of kids.
Yeah. And you know, it becomes kind of a brotherhood, a fraternal type thing, because, and we've experienced that, my wife and I, you go away on the weekends, you spend, you know, the weekends together sometimes the whole year.
That's exactly
definitely
right.
During the season.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, you got to get along. You got to like each other or it's going to be miserable.
You got that right. I'm going to say we've got some, you know, with those kids is some really great parents. I call it, you know, basically I kind of call it my wrestling family, because like you just said, we spend more time with that group of people than we spend with our own family, realistically. Cause you know, you're all through the week, you're at practice and this and that, and you're kind of talking to them and telling them what's going on. And then, well, you know how wrestling tournaments go. You start on a lot of times on Friday and you're there 12 hours, and you go Saturday and you're there 12 hours, and you go out and eat, and then everybody goes home, you know? So you really spend a lot of time. And, but you know, we've got some great people that kind of made that team what it is. So,
well, this group is pretty special. I mean, you guys, I was looking at the grades. I mean, my gosh, all these guys on the honor roll, and I didn't have that luxury so much with some of the guys I had. I had some guys that were excellent students, but I had a few that I had to stay after all the time.
Right.
But it looks like you guys, it kind of reminds me when I coached cross country at Woodrow, and I'd never had coached any girls before, and it was girls and boys. What it came up, I was going to check their grades, and I had 23 kids on the team, and every one of them made the honor roll, and 12 of them had straight A averages.
Hey,
and I said, I've never had this before.
This is great. That's exactly right, sir.
And they actually took their books with them to cross country meets and read on the way back home.
There you go. There you go.
I'm just not used to that. But now you guys, you finished sixth last year in the state,
right,
I think.
Right.
And the 89 team finished sixth. My son was on that team, and if it had just a couple other little things went a little different, they might have been in the top three or four. The 1987 team finished fifth.
Okay.
And that's the highest anybody's finished in 50, 60 years,
long time.
I think.
That's right.
And so you guys, you got to have a goal. You know, you got to
have
beat that fifth this year.
That's
and
right.
I don't think the class of 87 would mind.
Probably not. I think, you know, I really put forth the effort for these boys. I think, you know, and this is an opinion, of course, but I really think they could be in the top three if things go our way.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got enough good, you know, qualified 12 wrestlers. That's awesome, you know.
It is.
So with that being said, we've got such a amount of good kids on that team, and the ones, even the kids that I, you know, are a couple years in wrestling, so haven't been actually with that group or but with them now, you know, maybe they've only wrestled 1 or 2 years, they've actually picked up enough stuff that I think they can get us some points. You know, they can win for a few rounds, and I really think that this is going to be a special year there. I think, like I said, I think we can get into that top three.
How many guys do you lose after this year? How many?
So we've got Ethan and Jay. So we've really got those two seniors are the ones we're really going to lose. And, you know, they're an important part of the team. Don't get me wrong on that. They have really, you know, they both are great kids. They've been with this group for several years. Of course, they're a little older than this main group. But they've been in the same room with those guys for years, so it's going to be a little bit of a hurtful loss, especially, you know, like I said, both of them are, you know,
you're
great kids.
40, 50 points.
Exactly, exactly. You know, they're they're really good kids. You know, Jay has, I'm going to say Jay has really stepped up his game. He's really wrestled well this year. And of course, Ethan, he is a spectacular wrestler. You know, he's the one everybody looks to in the room and says, "Hey man, am I doing this right?" So, you know, so he's a really great kid. You know, just a really humble kid as well. And I look for him to do good things for us this year at the States.
I hope some of them guys end up going to WVU Tech and wrestling.
I hope so.
Local guys. Yep. But well, anyway, good luck. And, you know, this come to the end. I appreciate you talking to us. And good luck in the state tournament. We get back with you when you guys carry some gold back
home.
That's
exactly right. That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, I really appreciate you you having me on here. I was really excited when you called me, and I said, "Man," I told my wife, I said, "This is great." I said, "My coach is going to come and interview me a little bit." So that's cool. So I really enjoy you. You know, you come in and out of the shop quite a bit anyway, and I enjoy seeing you and talking to you. So.
Well, I enjoy talking to you always. And anybody else out there that would like to be on our program, we'd be glad to have you. You can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And until then, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. This is Wayne Bennett, and God bless you.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who?